Hello, Banties, and welcome to another episode of Base Hits and Banter, brought to you by USA Softball. I am one of your fabulous co-hosts, Haley McClenney, joined by my best bud and softball expert,
Sam Fisher. That's a great intro.
Great
What's up,
intro.
guys?
Howdy, partner. How you doing?
I'm doing so good. We were just saying before we started, it feels like it's been a while since we've hung out, and I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah, so happy to see you.
And
How
hear
was your
you.
yeah, and hear you. And I have my normal voice back. The demon left my body. We no longer are experiencing anything sinus related or vocal cord related. I feel like I sound relatively normal.
Same
So
person.
all is well over here in this household.
Do you want to tell the people about the hardware that you and East Coast K-Dog brought home this weekend?
This weekend was a big weekend for East Coast K-Dog. My lovely fiance, Kylie Hansen, was inducted into the Palm Beach County Sports Hall of Fame down in Florida on Sunday. We had a bunch of family that was in town, and it was awesome. And I wanted to show off her plaque for our people
Please.
on the YouTube.
Look at that.
So it's official. They also gave her a very nice signed jersey, or signed jersey. They also gave her a very nice jersey. Last name, 24 on the back. Hall of
So
Fame, like
cool.
total baseball, like old school jersey. It was just amazing. So I only cried like 10 times
It's good
during
for
her
you.
speech and during the induction. But she, I mean, Palm Beach County, for those of you that don't know, Palm Beach County in Florida is like the hub for professional athletes. Like, I can't even name all of the NFL players, Major League Baseball players that have like grown
Wow.
up in and around that area. And so for Kylie to be honored and just for winning the national championship at Florida State and doing everything that she did at FAU, it was just awesome. So very big weekend for the East Coast K-Dog. Very, very proud of her. And she's probably going to listen to this when we decide to go on a run randomly.
Love
So
that. I
shout out
love
to
East
you,
Coast
Kylie.
K-Dog. Yeah, big shout out. And then she went on from there and carved some people up at the pro level. So she's just like, she just did
Yeah.
it.
She was quick to remind me that when she was playing pro that she did shut out USA softball in an exhibition game. So
I hate to say we were both witnesses. I was on the benefiting witness side.
you were
Good stuff. Good
she
stuff for.
carved.
Yeah, she did. That thing went.
She carved. Just moving and grooving, curving and rising and dropping and changing and is yeah. That and yeah.
For all you
Good.
pitchers out there, that could be your motto. You have to. I already don't know the order that you said everything, but if you're listening, that's the pitching motto.
That is the pitching motto.
Curving and changing
Moving
and
and grooving and
dropping and
curving and
grooving.
rising and changing and dropping and
Oh man,
get it
sounds
all.
like a
They get
great
it all.
weekend.
No, it was great. It was great. And we did end up getting to watch some softball over the weekend as well. We did have some family in town. And the benefit of having a softball just family is that everyone is obsessed with softball because of watching Kylie play over the years. So everybody watches softball. So we were able to watch. And obviously being Florida State fans, we follow the ACC pretty closely. And I think the biggest thing for me this weekend was Virginia taking 2 of 3 from the Clemson Tigers, who also dropped a midweek to South Carolina earlier in the week. So a little bit of a tough stretch there for Clemson. But kudos to Virginia. First time ever beating Clemson.
Such a big deal.
That's
And
amazing.
then they beat them twice.
Not once, but twice. If it's so fun to do it once, you might as well just do it again. And
Yeah,
they did.
that's what they say.
That's what they
Yeah,
say.
I don't think that Clemson was expecting that to happen. I hope Virginia was expecting it to happen. You know what I mean? Where you go in as maybe the underdog, you're like, we'll just win a few. Why not? You know? But still an upset, man, a double upset. Shoot.
I love that. And there's so it, we saw it last week too with Ole Miss taking 2 from LSU. LSU dropping another series this weekend to Missouri. I mean, like. People, I think as we get like into the nitty gritty of conference play, the underdog and the favorites, we think in our minds are so separate. It's like, oh, Clemson's for sure going to sweep Virginia. Oh, LSU's got this in the bag. Missouri did it look that great against Tennessee. Like, got it in the bag. But you get out there and you play these games, and I think these underdogs are just like, we have nothing to lose. No one's giving us any credit anyway. We might as well just go balls to the wall and
Totally.
give it our best shot. And look what happens, like when you actually show up and play the game. really just really cool and really entertaining to watch because you have an idea of what's going on, but you don't know what's actually going to happen. And big time players are stepping up to the plate in really big moments. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah, you love to see it. And speaking from the underdog, you're right. Like nobody's looking at you. Nobody is looking at you. Everybody's looking at the other dugout, whoever else you're playing when you're playing somebody that's supposed to beat you. So you're like,
Exactly.
okay, I'm gonna just do my business and then pull a couple out. But LSU, man, I feel like there's a LSU pattern, you know, like they have had very strong years, years that you thought they are going to take home the hardware. And then
Absolutely.
something shifts. I like what you said about the nitty-gritty. You're at the point in your season where, okay, you've played a lot of games, you've traveled, you're settling into conference, and it's hard. You'll understand the transition I'm about to make. It's hard to beat a team thrice, right? It's hard to beat a team
So hard.
three times.
So
But
hard.
when you lose two out of the three of the ones that you're supposed to win, that's where you wonder, like, are these girls tired? Is there something mentally going on? Are they being coached? Are they being overcoached, undercoached? Like, what's going on? And I think there's an different answers for every team and every player, I imagine.
For sure.
But that leads me into Washington.
They
Do
did it again.
it again.
Again.
They are having a
Win the
hard
first two, crush it, and then drop the third one. This third one to UCLA was 6-0. UCLA won that
Yeah.
last game 6-0, like
Candidly.
pretty handedly. And
Like,
UCLA is obviously going to be talented. Like that's
yes,
probably the toughest
UCLA.
pack team that they've played. It's UCLA, right? But it's just so interesting and strange. Like, what is it about that third game? And does Washington even know? Like, do they
I
even know that it's a
don't
pattern? I would imagine that Heather Tarr knows because she's Heather
Right.
Tarr and she's one of the
Yes.
best coaches in softball. But as a player, you know, I always felt like and it's true, right? The coaches know so much more than you do, and they think so much more in depth than you do as a player. And I don't know if that's just me. Like, I play better when I'm oblivious to certain things. I'm just like, okay, let me get in the box. It's a 2-0 count. I might as well just take a hack and try to see if I get lucky. Like, awesome. Like, less is more in that sense. But you have to wonder what is it? What is it with LSU? What is it with Washington not being able to win the third game? Is it tightness? Is it like, is something going on in the locker room? All speculation. We absolutely have no idea.
We're just
But
supporters.
yeah, we're just curious because there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that no one sees. People
Totally.
only see the result on the stat sheet or the result when they're checking their app in
Oh,
the morning.
true.
It's like, oh, what were the scores from last night? I didn't even watch the game. Like
So
you don't
true.
know. But it's so interesting, and it is so hard to be able to beat somebody, especially in your conference, three times.
And Washington's third losses have been shutouts. They haven't scored.
They haven't scored.
And you think, you know, those cheesy things that you always say, where you're like, oh, they scored all their runs on the first day, you know, where you're like, wait, is that happening?
It actually might be happening.
They're
Or
using.
there could be a bat curse on Sunday.
It could be, yeah, that they don't
I don't
wake
know.
up on the final day. But yeah, just
And
interesting patterns starting to form.
very interesting patterns. And LSU is 5-4 in SEC play.
Not
Like
expecting that.
if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year, especially with how their conference schedule started, I would have been like, "I'm sorry, huh? Like,
Yeah, you're lying.
what? You're a liar." But Tennessee is the only team now with an undefeated SEC record. So,
That's
after sweeping South Carolina,
things are I love reading these stories, so you don't know how they're gonna end. I do
unbelievable.
have a shout out, Amanda Chittister and the Wolverines over at Michigan swept this weekend, which I know is like, you know. Sweeping is hard, but that's Amanda Chittister's first sweep as a coach.
Congrats, Chitty.
I
That's
know.
freaking amazing.
So we're very happy for her. Go Blue.
Go Blue. We're big Blue fans and big Chitty
That we
fans.
are. I had to give that shout out. It's a big coaching monument, you know.
Big shout out. Big shout
Monument,
out
is
to
that the
Chitty.
right
Mon
word?
a monumental achievement.
Yeah, let's go with that. Gee, I
We'll
got
go
all
with
these
that.
books back here. I should learn how to talk. So speaking of talking, you wanna? I feel like I need some balance in my life. Halo, you wanna?
Balance is important. Should we maybe transition into our banty balance
Yes,
discussion
please.
of the week?
Yes, I'm really excited about this one. We've got speaking on last week we talked about, being a lady, but also now focusing on that part, but strategies for self-care and healing. You want to hit me with some of your go-to things that you do, or like how you arrived at places of self-care? What has led you to what you do now in that department?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talk about this a lot in like the self-care and mental health space, and it kind of feels at sometimes it can be just like a logo slap of like a take care of yourself, take care of your mental health, but it's like, what do I actually do to do that? And so I think you have to be able to experiment with different things and kind of figure out what works for you. I know for me, especially when we were going to the Olympics and in playing pro, and even as we've kind of both transitioned into working full time as well on top of our softball training. And it's like I've got to find pockets of like silence and space where I'm not thinking about anything. And so for me, being able to, I write out my entire day at the
Love.
beginning of the day. It's where I time block everything. So like from 9 to 10, this is what I'm doing. 10 to 11, 11 to 12. Everything's written out. And if I notice that I have pockets, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit in, I have a little blue chair in my living room. I'm gonna sit in this chair and I'm gonna either journal, I'm going to read, I'm going to just take a 10 to 15 minute little break of just silence, solitude, getting my thoughts together, collecting my thoughts. And it's been a game changer for me to be able to be present and transition from one thing to the other. And I think it's really helpful for student athletes too, because you got to bounce back and forth between school, your social life, and your practices and your lessons and your camps and your clinics, and you're driving everywhere and all of that stuff. And to be able to just take a step back, like be able to breathe a little bit, maybe brain dump into a journal, that's really, really helped me. And it's helped keep me present with every single obligation that I have. Because the last thing that I want to do is go through a busy, busy day distracted and feeling like I was only at the surface level of my day. Like everything that I do, I want to be deep into it. Does that make sense? Like, I just don't want to
That's
float
amazing.
above it and get through it. I want to be learning, growing, getting better in every single part of my day.
Oh, that was amazing. The distracted part, that's, I think, such a key point of what you said. You're like, I don't want to go through my stuff distracted. Like, I want to be present. I want to give my all and just be authentic too. 'Cause when you can tell when someone's distracted, you can tell when you're like not all there, or somewhere else. And that was such a good point. I love that.
Totes, totes. That's my thing. I can't. I want to get the maximum thing out of everything that I try to do. But you gotta create silence and space and a little bit of solitude to be able to do that, in the self-care realm. But yeah, what about you? What are some of the ways that you incorporate self-care and mental health kind of into your routine? Because you're a busy, busy gal.
She'd be moving.
She'd be moving and
My
grooving and
goodness.
curving and rising and dropping.
Exactly. So, among all the moving and grooving, I love what you said. I think that something, like you said, like putting just like a stamp or a sticker where it's like self-care. What does that mean? Like when I look at like a people talking about a self-care routine, and I see somebody like washing their face and doing lotion on their face and stuff, I'm like, that's part of me going to bed. Like I don't connect with that in a self-care way, because I got to be taking care of my skin whether I want to or not. It makes me, it's just part of the daily routine. So for somebody, it might mean self-care for them, but for me, it doesn't. So I think that's one thing that's really important, that it's going to look different for everybody else. Like, for example, I love journaling in a way where it, like, it's, I remember I like have my journals from when I was a kid, and I'd be like, "Hey, diary, how are you?" "I'm good, thanks." Like, obviously, is this any surprise to anybody that that's how Sam Fisher would diary when she was six?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Sexy. Dear diary.
What's up, girl? But I have found that if I feel like I need to journal, it doesn't work for me, because I'll sit there with a pen and be like, "All right, Sam, write down something good."
Yeah, totally.
And where Self-care for me has turned very much, it's kind of transitioned throughout my life. I can think of in college, self-care was really spending time with the people around me, like my teammates, going and sitting at like the local diner on campus, getting milkshakes and stuff. That was very much self-care, just like free fun. But now I want to be by myself. And I have learned that being alone is such a huge part of self-care for me personally, because I just get to, like you said, sit in your chair and just be like, I'm gonna turn on a Disney movie. I'm gonna put on the Eras Tour, now streaming on Disney Plus, and I'm just gonna be, you know. I also love the sunshine. I think that that's really important for me, like getting out and
Yes.
going on a walk and listening to the Eras Tour.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
Yes. No, 100%.
But that's another, that's, I obviously joke a little bit about old T Swift, but music is huge for me to connect with myself. I have a very personal relationship with music, and getting in the car and blasting some tunes that I need that day, or walking and listening to music, like it develops depending on where I'm at and what I'm feeling. Like if I'm angry, you better believe I'm putting some Slim Shady on, and I'm gonna be walking and just
Vibing.
angrily bobbing my head. But if I'm feeling melancholy or maybe a little bit just like sad for some reason because the sky is sad, like I'm gonna put on some Folklore and I'm gonna be like, yeah, girl, I feel you.
That's the best Taylor Swift album.
Yeah, everybody.
I'm just gonna throw it out
That
there.
Halo is a Folklore girly, for
I
those of
am.
you. Yes.
I'm not a Swiftie. I'm a Folklore
But she's a
girly.
Folklore girl.
And there is a difference in that. But
It's
I
true.
love I love what you're saying, because it's like, find stuff that matches your mood
Yeah.
that also like will uplift you in a way.
Totally.
You know what I'm like? And you've
Yeah.
got to be able to experiment with that. Like, sit down and think about like what actually makes you happy, and don't just like
Yeah.
don't sit in the negative stuff that you're feeling. Get
Yeah.
outside, take the dog for a walk, like
Yeah.
train your dog to play fetch with you, or you know, like there are so many different things that you can do just
Yeah.
to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and putting yourself in a good headspace.
Yeah. And acknowledging that you might need it. Like, I remember I used to avoid so hard being sad, where I'm like, but then I would see like a video of a dog on TikTok and I'd just bawling my eyes out. I'm like, Sam, I think you should probably acknowledge that you're a little sad today.
Yeah,
It's
like that's
okay.
okay.
Just cry it out.
Yeah, but, well, awareness is a huge part of a part of that, right? Like you can't incorporate self-care if you won't acknowledge that you need it. And
100%.
we all need it. Like you need to be aware of it, you need to acknowledge it, and then you need to take, you know, action steps to be able to move
Yeah.
yourself in the right direction, and just kind of keep everything, you know, you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low, just keep everything right in the middle, and some fluctuation is normal and that's fine, but
Yeah.
like just experiment, figure it out,
Dig that.
and get after it.
Oh, go get it.
Go get it.
Oh.
Go get your care of
That was
self.
amazing. I can't wait to sit and do some self-care later.
I personally can't either. Another big self-care for both of us that we didn't mention,
Oh my God.
and I know it's a priority in both of our lives. Naps.
Gonna say Coca-Cola.
Coke is also very important. Coca-Cola, the soda. Okay. Coke
Yes.
and naps.
Coca naps.
Coke and naps.
My God, the first week that I started working a full-time job, I'm like, when do the people take their naps?
From like 7:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, I'm like, this is so sad. But yes, napping, are you kidding me? Like, I'll set an alarm for 9 minutes and sit on the couch and be like, all right. And then wake up feeling like a new person.
It's important.
That's you. Good one,
It's like
Halo.
turning your t it's like resetting your TV, or turning your TV off and on just for like 5 minutes, and then it magically works perfectly again.
Oh my God, we're the on-off switch in our nap.
Literally 10 to
Yeah.
15 minutes. Doesn't have to
Done.
be an hour,
Done.
I just want to point that out, that napping is good for your health.
Way to round it out, Halo. That was beautiful. Let's take that this really clean transition. I'm obviously connecting two pieces here into some HPP and national team news. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I would love nothing more to talk about some HPP and national team
Here
news.
comes the broadcast voice.
Here comes the broadcast voice. April is going to be a busy month for
It is.
identifiers.
It
The
is.
Mariera, 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 was it
Oh, Barcelona.
Marinara? Marinara. Georgia. It's Marietta, Georgia. That identifier is coming up April 7th, and registration closes this Sunday. So you better get on that if you're in Marinara, Georgia. And then we have Rocklin, California, which is in NorCal, on
I see.
April 14th. And then we've got Dallas, Tejas, on April 21st.
All
And
set.
speaking of Dallas, the WBSC World Cup stage event is in Dallas this fall. And those dates are August 29th through September 2nd. Dallas
Cool.
is also hosting the 2025 WBSC World Cup. So this winter at the HPP National Selection Event, USA Softball will be selecting that 2025 team. And how do you get invited to that national selection event? You have to ad attend a local identifier and
Yeah.
get invited. So you can visit hpp.usasoftball.com for more information or a list of other identifiers.
That was beautiful. Also,
.com.
for those of you listening, I will be at the Rocklin, California HPP event. So come say hi. I mean, I'll say hi anyway, but if you listen and you're going to be there, say what's up. Say you're a band, introduce yourself as a bantee, you know?
That's gonna be really cool. Say, hey, what's up? Hello.
Hey, what's up? Hello. We're out here moving, grooving, curving, dropping, changing, rising, all of it. That's what we're going to be
Perfect.
doing.
Absolutely perfect.
This weekend, we have a top 10 matchup with Texas at Oklahoma State. Going to
Ooh.
be exciting. Can you do that again?
Ooh.
I can't get over that you said Marinara, Georgia as well.
Marinara, Georgia. Obviously, I need Italian food today.
Holy buckets.
Holy buckets. So if any, if any Italian food sponsors are out there and you love softball
We're
and you
here.
love letting your athletes carb load,
Yeah,
I'm here.
Marinara.
We're here.
We
Marinara.
are. We've got Florida is at Mississippi State this
That'll be a good
weekend.
one.
Virginia Tech at Duke. I'm curious to see how that goes because Duke has dropped some games that I wasn't expecting. So I'm curious to see how they're going to come out and play against a strong Virginia Tech. There's a Fagan on that team, and you know them Fagans know how to ball. So
The Fagans have been balling for the last 3 decades, I feel like, in the college
literally.
softball world. So,
Literally. So, yeah, we've got A&M at, I'm losing it, Louisiana. Is that, am I wrong?
yes,
A&M or Louisiana?
at LSU, Texas A&M at LSU.
LSU. Yeah, okay. So I'm not wrong. I just
There's a
I
typo in the show notes there.
did. Chris Sebrin, everybody. I'm just kidding. And also, you guys, I know that you be seeing how we be dressing because Halo looks the same every week in her red hoodie. If you're more of a crew neck girly, also you got this USA Softball crew neck. It's very comfy. It's kind of made of the same material as Halo's favorite sweatshirt over there, repping the softball capital of the world. But if you want to dress like us, the fashionistas that we are, the fashion, how do you connect banty and fashionista? That can be the next thing that we work on.
Banthinistas.
There, that nailed it. Perfect. Go ahead and visit usasoftballstore.com and you can use the code BHB15 to get 15% off your entire purchase. So when you do that, send us pictures. We want to see you repping the same stuff as us.
Yes,
So
we do.
yeah. And we've got a guest coming up. I think you guys are gonna like what we've got to talk about.
You definitely are. It's going to be an absolutely amazing conversation. You're going to learn so much. You're going to grow. You're going to develop. And as always, you're going to be thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, at the end of the day, entertainment is key. So
Amen. A yeah.
we'll catch you guys with our guest.
At Higginbotham, we put people first. Our specialists are here to serve you, the people you care about, and your success. Insurance, HR, and financial services. Inspired by you.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We've got a great guest for you to give you some insight in, more in the USA softball world beyond the field. We have with us Dave Devine. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you,
We
Haley.
want to give everybody a little bio of who you are, what you do in the organization. You are currently serving as the USA Softball President through 2025. You are the commissioner in DFW, and you've been on the Men's Selection Committee since 2017, and as well as the Board of Directors for USA Softball. So, seems like a lot of different areas, all revolving around USA Softball. Can you tell us a little bit about what each role is and what you do within it?
Yeah, so I'm going to start kind of giving my history.
Love.
How I got involved with USA Softball, if you don't mind.
Please.
So I was hired to be a JO commissioner, or volunteered to be a JO commissioner, which is Junior Olympic Commissioner. Mm-hmm. And then I just matured into a commissioner. The other guy retired. So I became commissioner of USA Softball in Dallas and Fort Worth. And at one point, it was two different associations, the Dallas Association and Fort Worth Association, that was combined when I became commissioner. So as a commissioner, you know, we are in charge of, you know, making sure that everything is done correctly in USA Softball. And, you know, we got a big push right now as far as the safe sport goes and the background checks, all the fun things to go along with it. But, you know, the safety of the kids are probably my highest priority. Mm-hmm. In Dallas Fort Worth, and making sure that we're running softball correctly. There's lots of people right now, you know, there's lots of, you know, I call them garage tournament companies where, you know, it's not hard to develop a tournament. You got a ball and get some umpires and charge the big league, and, you know, you're playing softball. But, you know, we try to do things on a professional level, you know, having only softball umpires out there. You know, there's some people that use baseball umpires as I'm sure you guys experienced that as you're growing up. You think, well, yeah, you know, how come we're not getting softball umpires out here?
So, a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then I was on the board of directors and I think I served with you for a meeting, right, Sam?
Weren't yeah, you? Yes.
Were we sitting next to each other?
Yeah, that was us. were we in Louisiana?
I believe so.
Yep, that was us.
So, then the council very generously put me on as president of USA Softball. And, you know, I had to campaign to be president of USA Softball, and made a lot of promises that I have to fulfill.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'd love to hear more just about some of your goals for USA Softball, like in your first and second year of this presidency and kind of just taking USA Softball at the helm. I'd love to let the Bantees know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, you know, definitely, there has been a lot of movement within softball, and you know, USA Softball on a whole is healthy. The associations out there, you know, at one point we were a lot stronger, and that's one of my main focuses, is make sure the associations are strong out there, make sure that the kids and the adults have somewhere to play that that is professional, and not just you know, once again ran by couple of guys in a garage. So, you know, USA Softball is the national governing body of softball, and we have a high bar we have to get over to run events. You know, we got to make sure everything's correct.
Love that.
And I think that's what, for most people, I mean, I didn't really know all that went into USA Softball until I got to be on Team USA. Like, I think that a lot mm-hmm. of people don't really understand that there's this whole thing that's going on behind the scenes. People are working at this year round. It's not just you show up to a softball tournament and you play it, you know. So what are some of the behind the scenes things that you've learned in your role going through everything, starting with JO, going through to becoming president? What are some things that you wish people knew about running an organization like this?
You know, and it is a very difficult job being commissioner. There is a lot of responsibilities that I didn't realize when I became commissioner. I thought, you know, basically we make sure the leagues are registered and make sure that the kids were registered and ready to play. But, you know, since SaySport became involved in this, we have to do a lot of work making sure that that is done
mm-hmm.
for USA Softball. So asking someone to be, you know, if somebody right now comes into USA Softball as commissioner, I can't tell them enough that it's a rewarding job, rewarding. I call it a job, but it is a job, but it's a rewarding role to be in. But, you know, as president and as a commissioner, I'll tell you a story. So last night I was at the Texas Rangers game, first game of the season, preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I heard Mr. Devine, and I turned around and it was this girl that I coached. I did coach. I was part of organization. And she right now she's 34 years old with two kids. And it just really warmed my heart thinking, you know, I had something to do with her softball career, and she played at a small college and stuff like that. But I guess that's something that you don't really think about when you're getting into this thing, you know, as far as, you know, the Lashy effect.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. That's so cool. Were you an athlete yourself, right? Can you talk about like just how
well, I wasn't as good an athlete as both you guys at all.
Hey, an athlete, once an athlete, really always slow. An athlete, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hear you talk so passionately about softball, and obviously you're the president of USA Softball, but where did your passion for softball come from?
I got another story.
We love stories on this show.
So I went through college, and I was officiating basketball, and that led into softball, and I became an ASA softball for a really short period of time. ASA, and Amateur Softball Association, which is us, USA Softball now. You know, that was my first taste of ASA softball, and I was doing a slow pitch game, and you know, the adults out there and stuff, and I was a kid, I was, you know, under 30, and they were just giving me all I could handle, because I really didn't know the rules that good. And anyway, I learned by fire, but my daughter got me into softball. She's now a mother. I got grandkids from her. And she, for me, it was such a release going to these parks. You know, I just felt like it was just wide open, and it wasn't the city, I just felt really free out there, I guess. I don't know if that's the best word for it, but.
Hey, we get it. We get it.
Yeah, we do. That's why we're still doing it.
Yeah.
Well, here's my story on that is I was one of those parents. You know what I mean? Guys that hang off the fence. I was one of those guys. And, right. You know, you talk about what I didn't know till before I became commissioner. But anyway, I got my daughter till about, you know, she was a freshman in high school. And she was a decent player. You know, a lot better players out there. She was decent. And I really enjoyed watching her play. But she came to me when she was a freshman and said, hey, that's enough. No longer softball. I know how you feel about it, but I want to do other things. And I didn't know how to respond, really, but I told her I wasn't finished. I said I wanted to be part of it. So I did this without my daughter being in the sport, and I just kept hanging around. After a while, they just said, well, let's give them something to do, I guess. So
wow.
Eventually, they made me president of USA Softball.
I love that. You're like, okay, you can be done. I'm not going to be done. I'm just going to ride this out. I love what you said about being that parent and, you know, seeing what you've gone through and learned and had a kid in it and everything. I would love to know just some perspective of being that parent and then looking back on being that parent.
Oh, yeah. So I was a parent that actually got kicked out of a game because, and I wasn't even coaching. I was outside the fence. you know, I was helping the umpire call balls and strikes. And, of course, you know, I was really into it. And I talk to parents now about that situation. And you just have to really take a back seat to this thing and really mm-hmm. enjoy the moment, because you never know what's going in for you. I almost pushed my daughter out of softball because of that. You know, I didn't help her stay in the softball, you know, because I was so much over the top.
Wow.
Yeah. So is there any advice that you would give to parents? I mean, you deal with, you come from the JO, you do all of these different youth programs, the national championships, all that stuff. Is there any advice that you would give to parents that maybe are looking themselves in the mirror?
Right, like, don't be like me, be right? I'll run upon a parent that not acting real good, or a coach or something like that, and I tell them my story. Mm-hmm. And tell them that, you know, you'd enjoy softball a lot more if you weren't that person. You know, some coaches, even coaches, everything's at a 12 and under level, it's like life and death. It's not life and death. It's just a game.
Right.
I'm sure you guys have been in those situations too, where you're saying, you know, ease up a little bit back there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen it, you know, growing up in it, and then we've seen it now on the other side, where we'll run camps, or we'll, you know, do lessons or do things that are involved with the youth. And both of us obviously have parents who knew how to, you know, deal with us and show their support in the ways that we needed. And I think what you're saying is really impactful, because you have now given to the game longer than your daughter played. And I think that looking at supporting the sport and supporting the kids that are playing this sport is, at the end of the day, the lesson where you take a step back. It's not that serious. Let's grow this game. Let's let these kids have a good time. You know, you know, we all know the life lessons that you can learn through sport. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, we've mentioned Safe Sport a few times on here. Safe Sport is a program that every USA Softball person involved has to go through this training. Is that right, Dave?
Correct. Coaches, umpires, anybody on that side of the fence has to go through this program.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure we got the person, you know, the coaches, the people that's helping our kids. We want to make sure that they are correct. Mm-hmm. And they know how to act, and they know how to, recognize things, you know, and definitely background checks. You know, we fight that locally here, that there's some organizations, they don't do background checks. And they, mm-hmm. I know some umpires, umpiring right now, you wouldn't want them behind the plate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just a scary situation, and we're hoping we get that straightened out.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. Sorry, Halo, I'm really on a
No, chair. please.
I got my my background check. I passed it. I just got it in the mail. So for everybody, I'm gonna wear this around my neck as jewelry. But you know, you hear a lot of people speak on growing the game and protecting the kids and the girls in sport, and that these are steps to take that back. That statement, you know, it's a lot of saying what you want to do, saying you want to do the right thing, but how are you backing it? And at the end of the day, you have young kids that are involved and adults that are involved. So making sure everybody knows what they're doing, who they're doing it with, and taking the right steps to make sure that hopefully you never have to deal with a situation or anything. So that, I think, is really responsible, coming from, you know, we were girls growing up in the sport, mm-hmm. constantly, you know, around different people, around different tournaments, umpires, like you said, things you don't think about. That's why I love that you're on telling parents, telling players, this is what goes on to make sure that you have a great experience playing USA Softball.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess that's my biggest role right now, is to make sure that the game's safe for the kids. But, you know, of course, we have a lot of different disciplines in softball. You know, we got slow pitch, we got everything.
Yes.
You know, a lot of different types of slow pitch.
Yeah.
No fast pitch. And, you know, I'm on the men's selection committee. Uh-huh. And I'm I'm pretty sure you, I don't know, maybe you guys had some coaches that pitching coaches or something like that came from the men's fast pitch side. It's amazing. Oh, yeah. Watching them pitch.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. They could tell unreal. You. Yeah. They'll be like, hey, I'm going to throw you a backdoor curveball. And your knees still buckle because you think it's going to hit you. And it curves in and it's a strike.
Yeah. It's amazing. The strength of that game and the speed of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it really. So back, where are we at? 85 years ago, ASA started. That's the original game was fast pitch softball. Mm-hmm. It wasn't slow pitch. I always thought it was slow pitch when we started. You know, they talked about a boxing myth they rolled up, and that was the ball.
I love that.
I thought, well, they played slow pitch, but it's actually a fast pitch game.
That's amazing. Awesome.
I love knowing that.
That's what a fun fact. It's so 19, cool. Like
1933. Think about that. How long ago that was.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I don't know that so many, especially young girls that are just starting to play now. I know we were having this conversation with, I think it was Kyla Hollis, who works a lot with our junior national teams. And she was saying how a lot of these younger athletes are coming up and they don't understand or know the history of the sport or the women or men that have played it. And I think that's the point that you're making is like, it's such a cool message to be able to get out to folks of like, oh, you're seeing our games on ESPN or you're watching us in the Olympics and all of that. But the history of our sport is also really exciting. And there are incredible athletes that play it both on the men's and the women's side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an exciting game, both sides. And matter of fact, I wasn't exposed to the men's game till I became involved with USA Softball, and it was such an eye opener. And I really encourage anybody that's doing slow pitch that maybe just got out of high school or something like that that really used to play baseball, they would really enjoy the fast pitch game because of the speed.
Yeah,
I know personally the lowest low I've ever had in my softball playing career is when I've had friends be like, Sam, you play softball, come out and play slow pitch with us for a weekend tournament. And I struck out and had to, I'm like, I will never say yes again. Cause I'll be like, you're a pro.
That's a thing.
It's so hard.
It's a thing.
Oh yeah. Man.
Yeah. I'd have a hard time hitting it for sure.
It's so hard.
Yeah. And they're senior softball. You know, 50, mm-hmm. 60, 70, 80, 90 years old out there playing.
Yeah.
It's amazing watching those guys. And they're a lot better athletes than I am. They're still accurate out there. It's amazing watching them.
That's going to be me and Sam when we retire from fast pitch. We're just going to be out there until we're 90. Is that part of your plans, Dave, to get more adults kind of re-engaged back into softball?
You know, really, yes. As we all, softball back in my time, I came from a real small town and we had one team, right? A town team. And we'd play other towns, and it was that was our thing. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gets lost unless you're on a really high level and stuff, and playing, you know, for keeps every weekend. You don't really see the town teams playing each other, you know, one town against the other town, or you don't see it like it's for keeps anymore. It's just this was just a activity we used to do. And we look forward to it. And I think that's one thing that softball has to come back at for the adults is just get out there and play. Just get some exercise. Because it don't have to be for keeps. You don't have to win every game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Not when you're that age. When you're still playing like me and Sam, yes. But right. Not, yeah.
You're expected to win.
Exactly right.
I was never expected to win, so I'm good.
and it makes sense when you're like, for me in Halo, it makes sense when you're mad if you lose, but when you're out there, you know, playing for fun and playing for slow pitch and you're really, really mad when you lose, you're like, okay, we gotta, this is for fun. This is like for fun. But I love that your goal, like a goal of yours is to get people. I remember growing up going to my dad's slow pitch games and going out and watching every Wednesday night or whatever it was and just being at the ball field. And, you know, those are things where you're outside, you're having fun. It could be a family event, you know, that some of your lifelong friends, like I know Halo and I are going to be friends till we're 90. Some
For
of my
sure.
dad's friends are from those slow pitch teams, you know, throughout those years. And I think it forms, like you're saying, a great deal of community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It does. And, you know, I think that sometimes leagues and tournaments or whatever, they try to gear it towards where it is, you know, it's more of a, you know, win or you fail type situation. And it should be more just of a, you know, if we hit a few, if we catch a few and just get some exercise, that's kind of all we, you know, that's all we really need.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's got to be, I just think that's where we're missing out on a lot of adults right now, is that, and it would help them, you know, with the exercise.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wish there was leagues out there that could get that message out there that, you know, it's just for fun.
Yeah. I love that.
Not at your level. Your level is a lot more serious than that.
Our level is really, really fun when you win.
That is the God's honest truth. It is really, really fun.
Most fun.
When you win. Yeah. But I think there's something to be said for that too, about connecting that to the adult piece with the youth piece as well. Like, the game is not that serious. Like, yes, Sam and I play it as a full-time job, as one of our full-time jobs, you know? And but it's still, like, at the end of the day, it's a game. Like, it's all about fun. It's all about learning, and it's all about growing and developing. Are there any plans you have to share with your other, like, local JO commissioners about how we can trickle down that culture into USA softball?
Yeah. And, you know, it seems like sometimes USA softball chases the wrong people as far as business goes. You know, there's some companies out there right now that they take the top 10% of softball players and they have a league for them or an association for them. And but, you know, USA softball is much bigger than that. You know, we wreck all, you know, first year players, T-ball players or blast ball players, all the way up to you guys is what we have. We have a lot of different concentrations.
Yeah.
So, you know, us just concentrating on the very, very best, that would be unfair to the sport.
Yes.
So I love that.
You're so right. Gosh.
And how do you expect to become the best of the best if no one's investing in you when you're not?
Yes.
Right?
Like, how do you grow?
Exactly. I read a quote once, and it was like, the way to become great at something is to first kind of suck at it. I mean, at the end of the day, but.
Oh, sure.
Dave, I'd love to wrap up. You know, we already touched on some advice because Halo loves to ask if there's any advice. And we touched
that.
On that in the middle because it just made so much sense. But I have one very important question to wrap us up. Other than Sam Fisher and Haley McClenney, who's your favorite softball player of all time?
So, another story. When
love it.
My daughter was in softball, the Olympic team came through, I believe it was 2000, let's see.
Probably
2006, right around there. I can't remember exactly, but Jenny Finch and that bunch came through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Cat was young then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, you know, they played the game out there. I wasn't really part of it. I was just kind of one of those guys. And anyway, they came pick me out, and they said, they're going to be signing autographs. We want a couple of big guys next to the girls, so, you know, keep the line in order and stuff like that. So everybody said, oh, pick a girl. So I walked over to Jenny. I'll protect her, I guess. So
yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to. And since then, I've got to know her, and I think she would recognize me at least.
I love that.
She's just a really a sweet person, but you know, from that point forward, I guess that was my first one. But there's many of them since then. I got a lot of favorite softball players. There's sometimes I have a favorite softball player just for the weekend.
I love that.
But, you know, there's some players I thought, wow, you know, this one's really good.
Yeah. I do need to ask you, you're in Dallas, so who's your college softball team?
Ooh,
who's yours?
Mine's Alabama and nothing else.
I know she's right.
And mine's Alabama.
Oh, you know, I forgot to add my two favorite softball players right now are you guys. So.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. We do appreciate that.
Too much of a meatball, so we both appreciate that.
And honestly, Jenny Finch is one of my favorite players. So
I love Jenny. You know how they say, like, don't meet your heroes because sometimes it's disappointing? Jenny is the opposite. You meet her, you're like, I love her more now.
Yes.
So I grew up an Oklahoma fan of football and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, you know, I follow that softball. But to tell you the truth, I'm a lot of fans right now. I like Texas. I like Texas this year.
Yeah.
They've been great.
And you're right. You know, I saw Houston play the other day. I think they got something. And I saw Kansas play the other day. I think they got something. There's, you know, I'm always kind of for the underdog, right?
I love it.
You know, if somebody's playing somebody that's favorite, I'm always kind of pulling for the other one just to give them a little bit of competition.
Love that. Spice it up.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah, exactly. I love it.
Awesome. Well, I like Alabama. I like the coach.
There we go. Good answer. I'll take it.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today, your favorite softball players. This has been great. I know that people have questions about how things work and your insight and your advice and your knowledge is really helpful for people to understand the goings on of what we do and the products that get put on the softball field at any level. So we're really appreciative of you sharing with us today.
You bet. Thanks for the time. I appreciate you guys doing this.
Yeah.
This really helps us out as far as softball goes and you guys doing this podcast for us.
Thanks.
Yeah. We have a good time doing it.
So. Yeah.
Team USA has brought me opportunities that I never thought I would have before. And I'm super humbled to be able to represent my country.
There's so much talent in the United States playing softball right now. And we want to see the game continue to grow and prosper and develop.
I want to develop not just men, but women's softball as well.
I want to see more girls like me playing this sport.
I just hope one day that I could be somewhat mentioned, like a Natasha Watley, to help this game.
I just remember, like, watching everyone, like, in the Olympics, like, and you guys just representing this country. And for me, playing USA softball, like, I just want to do the same.